hopes would not pass out when they read it, that sort of thing. They do.
No.
So it's just, it's obvious that we didn't get the real McCoy.
No, and nor would Father Martin have sworn an oath not to say something. He had very serious knowledge of what's coming, as you
yes.
know, when,
yes.
when he relayed things to you. So it's something that it's an anomaly that they've let out. It's a real paradox, but definitely designed to hurt us in the end, to keep us complacent and to think that we're okay.
Kathleen, what do you know of the contents of the real third secret?
I never asked Father Martin directly because I didn't want to put him into a bad position. I asked him to tell me in generality. I've had it confirmed with other people as far as what's contained, and it refers to very specific chastisements, both spiritual and physical. Just horrible things. You know, not only the rise of the Antichrist.
Jim, it looks like we had a problem with the Winamp player. We're live. Go ahead. Take it away, my friend.
You got it, Mitchell. Thanks. I was at a bit of a loss about the third secret. Fascinating stuff. Okay, I begin with World War III averted. Poland and NATO say the missile that landed and killed two wasn't a Russian attack. We have to ask ourselves, who could possibly have been responsible? And I think the answer is pretty damn obvious, that it was Ukraine that fired the missile they hoped would lead to World War III. They're pulling out all the stops. Poland said Wednesday there's no indication the missile that came down at Polish farmland killing two was an intentional attack on the NATO country. And that neighbor Ukraine likely launched the Soviet-era projectile as it fended off a Russian air assault, savaging its power grid. Ukraine's defense was launching their missiles in various directions, and it's highly probable one of these missiles unfortunately fell on Polish territory, said the Polish president. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, to suggest it was an intentional attack on Poland. Biden said it was unlikely Russia fired the missile, but I'm going to make sure we find out exactly what happened, as though he could find out exactly what happened about any matter, even who wiped his ass the last time he hit the can. Meanwhile, I've observed in the past, or observed now, that the only one who could defeat Trump is Trump. I did a pretty good job of that last night while making his announcement for Mar-a-Lago that he's officially running for president. I expected the guy to come out firing all guns against the Democrats for stealing the midterm election. Instead, he talked like a wimp, as though the public hadn't caught on yet to all the destruction that the Biden admin and the Democrats are doing to the nation. We have caught on, Mr. Donald. We have caught on. It was, in my opinion, an utterly lackluster presentation, too much about I, too little about you. What made Trump so good in the past is that he has been talked about you, the American people, what you need, what we have to do to fix things, to make life better for you, to make America great again. This unfortunately had the aspect of making the Donald great again, not America. Very disappointing. On the other hand, and across the continent, Carrie Lake has refused to concede the gubernatorial race in Arizona, which was massively stolen. I mean, one of the most obvious atrocities here is that the Secretary of State of Arizona, who supervises elections in Arizona, was running against her. This was Katie Hobbs. Katie Hobbs was so bad as a candidate that when CNN interviewed her, they refused to post it for the public to watch after it had been broadcast live. It was that bad. Katie Hobbs is the Fetterman of Arizona. And the very idea that Fetterman could have been elected to the United States Senate after his disastrous debate with Oz is just insulting beyond belief. No possible way. In neither case was it remotely reasonable, even within the realm of probability, meaning actually not even within the realm of possibility that either Fetterman could win in Pennsylvania or that Kerry Lake could lose in Arizona. In a tweet Monday, Lake appeared to dismiss mainstream media projection by saying Arizonans know BS when they see it. This comes as Senate nominees Blake Master and Secretary of State nominee Mark Fincham have also declined to concede. Good for them. All three have raised concerns about election integrity in this state. Recently, she pointed to issues in Maricopa County, which takes days to count the vote. As Tucker has explained, they take those days so they see exactly how many votes they need to subtract from the Republican candidate and add to the Democrat. That's why there are these delays in voting. They should be absolutely illegal. All votes must be cast on the same day. No advance voting, no mail-in voting, none of that nonsense that everyone knows is used to steal one election after another. We have to have same-day voting, paper ballots, hand counts to restore legitimacy to the United States. And there seems to have been a discovery of the mechanism behind all these electoral thefts that I'm going to address momentarily. Kerry Lake, it's an embarrassment. And I'm going to fight for the people of Arizona that everybody's vote is counted. This is sacred. It is outrageous what they did here in Maricopa County. Here's a good piece. Another absolutely fraudulent ballot drop makes Katie Hobbs Arizona governor. The math doesn't add up in the Arizona races, even after working on tabulations for a full week. And independent media are still asking questions about how election officials declared that Democrat Katie Hobbs won the governor's seat in a hotly fought after state. Something seems very off in the tabulations for Republican Kerry Lake. Get this. Only 17% of Maricopa Election Day voters were Democrat. Only 23% of primary Election Day voters were Democrat in the whole state. But Democrats are winning 50% of the delayed Election Day totals. Impossible. Jim Hoff reported for Gateway Pundit, and Gateway Pundit is a terrific source. Jim Hoff is doing a wonderful job. As the Gateway Pundit reported earlier, despite only 17% Democrat turnout on Election Day, Katie Hobbs and Democrats are winning over 50% of the Maricopa County Election Day total. Equally absurd, because many Democrats weren't even going to vote Democrat. They were going to vote Republican. Remember, poll after poll has shown Hispanics have turned to the GOP. Catholics have turned to the GOP. White suburban women, which represent 20% of the electorate, have turned to the GOP. We're talking about massive numbers of in the past Democrat voters who are now going to vote Republican. On election night at 8 p.m., Uplift Data released its final hourly results on the Arizona and Maricopa County elections. Throughout the election cycle, Uplift posted the latest on mail-in ballot counts as ballots arrived in the weeks leading up to Election Day. This is a great tool for Democrats to understand the real-time results. On Election Day, Uplift tracked the hourly reported result from precincts across Maricopa County. When the polls closed at 8 p.m. Mountain Time, Uplift released its final analysis from the day. Maricopa County turnout numbers on Election Day at 8 p.m. Republicans received 52.7% of the vote. Other received 30.7% of the vote. Democrats received 16.6% of the vote. The other categories, likely independent-leaning Republicans and Republican voters who refused to talk to liberal pollsters. Here's the Uplift final count, and it's a bar graph showing how massively the Republican vote exceeded the other vote, which exceeded the Democrat vote. So again, according to Uplift, Republicans have 15.7% of the vote on Election Day, Democrats 16.6%. USA Today reported Kerry Lake had won 70% of the Election Day vote. Since Tuesday night, Maricopa County has slow-walked its actual results to the press. Katie Hobbs has won every ballot drop except two from Maricopa County since Tuesday, extending her lead over Kerry Leak by 34,000 votes. Katie Hobbs won more Election Day votes than the Thursday and Friday ballot drops. Kerry Lake won 51.8% of the 85,000 Maricopa ballots on Saturday night. On Sunday, she won 54% of the 97,000 Maricopa ballots on Sunday night. Yet Maricopa County officials want you to believe all the independent voters on Election Day voted Democrat in Maricopa County. But that's not all. 80% of in-person voters in Maricopa County on Election Day voted Republican. Only 23.4% voted Democrat. Maricopa County had 106,588 voters show up Tuesday to vote in person. Of those, a record-breaking percentage voted for the GOP. In Arizona, anyone registered as independent can show up to the polls and request either a Republican or a Democrat ballot. In Tuesday's primary, listen to this, 80% who voted in person selected a Republican Party ballot. Only 2% use a Democrat. Charts below show the details. As of April 22, the makeup of active registered voters in Maricopa County is 34% Republican, 30% Democrat, and 34% Independent. Out of the 31,318 registered independents who showed up, 73.95% asked for a Republican ballot. Only 23.4% asked for a Republican. That's 3-1. That's considered a blowout. In the right side graph below, the pink at the top are the independent voters who ask poll workers for a Republican ballot. The dark red are registered Republicans. And we can see how massively Hoft adds more graphics. Here's another breakdown. Jordan Conrad, son of Gateway Pundit, reported on the details and was from the ground in Maricopa and was removed from access to press conferences along with Ben Bergquam of Real America's Voice. The two investigative reporters were denied access to the official media announcement, but they each did continue to report from the location of where the ballots were being tabulated from around the state. Conradson reported Monday after the announcement of Hobbs' victory. Pima County dumped another batch of Election Day ballots today favoring Katie Hobbs, 58.08% to 41.95% for Kerry Lake. And the total number for outstanding ballots actually increased. This election is being rigged and stolen just like in 2020, adding, at 12 p.m., it was reported that Pima County had 38,874 outstanding ballots, then pointed to a post by mainstream media vote election analyst. Arizona's outstanding ballots as of 12 p.m. State, 169,087. Apache going through the various. Prima, 38,874. So before 6 p.m., it was announced 24,304 ballots were tabulated, and the number of ballots remaining actually increased to 39,128. Can you believe it? Conradson reported, Democrat and election officials are insisting the Democrats won Election Day voters and independents in the state. The criminals running these county elections belong in jail. This is all intentional to stop President Trump's endorsed candidates from winning the state. The increase in ballots and stalling of this election is likely meant to interfere with President Trump's big announcement tomorrow at the Mar-a-Lago. Well, and they say it didn't turn out to be such a big deal, in my opinion. Very, very disappointing. Meanwhile, more thoughts on the stolen election from Paul Craig Roberts. In Maricopa County, it appears that Democrats' attempt to steal the election had been explained away as a printer error. Somehow the machines that worked in the primaries malfunctioned in the election. In Arizona, there seemed to be an effort to disappear the votes for Republican Kerry Lake. vote counting has been stopped when 600,000 votes remain to be counted. The uncounted votes are day of election votes cast in person, mainly by Republicans who vote in person, as they have learned not to trust alternative voting methods. The day of election votes will be for Republican governor candidate Carrie Lake. Is that why the voting is stopped? Does a bear shit in the woods? Is the Pope Catholic? I add, the hundreds of thousands of unaccounted day of election votes could also give the Senate seat to Republican Blake Masters. But of course it won't. He continues, and mind you, this is published a few days ago. How do we reconcile Florida's red wave with the absence of one elsewhere? The answer is, Florida doesn't permit all the voting ways that make it easy to steal. I voted in Florida on a paper ballot that was counted immediately prior to my departing the site, and I was given a confirmation of my counted vote. Governor DeSantis and Senator Rubio won by overwhelming margins. DeSantis defeated Democrat Chris by 59 to 40. Even heavily Democrat Miami-Dade County voted 55% for Republican DeSantis. Rubio defeated his Democrat challenger by a double-digit margin. Of Florida's contingent of 28 members of the House, 20 are Republican. Why only in Florida were Democrats rejected, as was expected to happen in many states? For democracy to work, those that control election procedures and vote counting must believe in a fair vote. They must believe in democracy. If instead they believe in power, which Democrats do, there cannot be a fair election. The Democrats are more addicted to power because, unlike Republicans, they have a revolutionary ideology that seeks to normalize perversity and demonize normality. Thus, Democrats normalize sexual perversion and teach critical race theory and transgender theory to school children in order to confuse them about their natural gender and to inculcate guilt for being a white racist. By indoctrinating the young, the woke Democrats remove people from opposing their gradual and ongoing revolution. Another feature of the Democrats' revolution is open borders that are flooding the U.S. population with non-whites, essentially turning the U.S. into a non-white country, thereby dispensing with the reactionary values of Western civilization. At the hands of Democrats, white Americans are facing civilizational genocide. Is it possible that white people are too stupid to see this and take no action at the voting booth to protect themselves? Or has Democrat control of many major cities precluded change by voting? In the large cities, the Democrats control the voting. They control who votes and how many times. Republicans don't want to embarrass America by making a scandal. The mentality is let it go, don't rock the boat, it won't happen next time. The media will skewer us for questioning America's righteousness. I know the Republicans are far from perfect, but they are not anti-white. If white Americans don't start paying close attention, they are history. The British didn't pay attention, and now they're ruled by an Indian Hindu prime minister, and their capital, London, is ruled by a Pakistani. Both might be good and capable politicians, but they are not British. The British Prime Minister has already held a Hindu religious celebration at 10 Downing Street. As weak as Christianity and the Church of England already are, with only mosques and not Christian churches being built in England and Europe, how much longer will Christmas be celebrated in the West? Public manifestations of Christmas celebration have already been eliminated in America, thus placing us well on the way to complete cultural and religious deracination. Is America becoming a country that serves as an armaments industry, Jewish bankers, immigrant invaders, and abandons the moral high ground to LGBT sexual perversity? The entirety of the West is becoming a culture like the bar scene in the first Star Wars film of 1977. As days pass, less and less remains of Western civilization to be defended. And mind you, we have the FTX thief who stole $1 billion from his customer and donated $100 million to the Democrats. 10% for the big guy was much worse than that. That was from Kim.com. Marjorie Taylor Greene. I want an audit where every single penny has gone in funding to Ukraine. Everyone is okay with that, right? Meanwhile, Mike Adams raises Flashpoint, Arizona. What will the people do when the steal is so blatant? The continued pandemic is critical to Democrats' election rigging. Check this out. The Democrat playbook for stealing elections is both simple and sinister. Push a nationwide pandemic to justify widespread mail-in voting. Send out millions of ballots in the mail so that extra ballots are easy to come by. Delay vote counting any time a Republican is winning. And use the delay to scrounge up whatever number of Democrat ballots is necessary to win. Rinse, then repeat. In 2022, 2024, 2026, etc. Keep the pandemics going, the masks going, the media psyop going, the mail-in ballots going, and the rigged elections going. That's where we are in America today. And the latest victim of this election theft fraud is Carrie Lake, who should have been already declared governor-elect of Arizona. Instead, the media called her corrupt opponent Katie Hawes a winner of the race. And anyone who questions the steal will be called an election denier and an enemy of democracy. Yet who is destroying democracy here? Clearly it's the Dems who are rigging the elections yet again. And they're doing it in plain view, right in front of the people of Arizona and the world. My question today is simply this. What will the people of Arizona do in response to this blatant election theft? Will they just back down and take another punch to the gut, telling themselves we'll win next time? Or will they demand an honest election? According to the Gateway Pundit, one group of Arizona citizens is already demanding new elections to take place December 6th, carried out with in-person paper ballot voting. The Democrats, of course, will never agree to honest voting since they would handily lose such an election. What options remain to a citizen when election theft is so blatant and malicious? Mass protests might be one option, but the deep state would obviously stage saboteurs in the crowd dressed as mega Republicans to carry out acts of violence so Biden could claim conservatives are terrorists. In a free country, you might be able to speak out and alert your fellow Americans to the theft. That just happened. But big tech and the DOJ have already declared that anyone who doesn't accept the steal is engaged in acts of misinformation or insurrection and should therefore be banned or perhaps even criminally investigated. Thus, in America, when Democrats openly steal an election, you aren't allowed to protest the theft or even talk about it without being labeled terrorists or criminals. This is exactly the playbook of one-party rule that has been carried out in other fascist communist regimes, such as those under Stalin, Mao, or Mussolini. Now it's being rolled out across America. And the GOP establishment apparently has no desire to stop it. Carrie Lake, for her part, is saying she will not concede to this stolen race. But Dr. Oz conceded quickly. And so did a lot of other Republicans, are proving they have no backbone for the real political fight this country now faces. We live in a nation where the U.S. government conspires with big tech to censor conservative voices. And then we're told that the Democrats are the ones protecting democracy, where virtually every corporation, university, and institution is all in with a Democrat agenda. Climate change, quackery, child grooming, pedophilia, transgenderism, and more. And yet we're told that conservatives are such a danger to democracy They should never be allowed to speak or to operate businesses or to win elections. Apparently, the American people are supposed to just sit down, shut up, have their children mutilated, their dollars looted, their economy crushed, their food supply compromised, their speech silenced, and their future annihilated, all in order to protect America from extremism. Rigging elections is pretty extreme, it turns out. So is releasing biological weapons on the population or injecting the masses with genocidal mRNA weapons. Printing trillions of dollars in fiat currency is extreme, and food prices are hitting extreme levels with no end in sight. But the real extremists, we're told, are the people asking questions about all this, not those carrying it out. This is how nations fall. And we are living through the final chapter of the American empire with all of its corruption, lawlessness, media brainwashing, arrogance, and government terrorism against the people now rising to the surface. When this system breaks, which seems imminent, don't be anywhere near a U.S. city, or your chances of surviving the chaos will be slim. Absolutely sensational from Mike Adams, who's done a great job of reporting consistently on major threats confronting the nation. None perhaps more timely than the one I've just shared with you today. I congratulate him. And when we return from the break, I'll have more to report on how it was done. Meanwhile, one more report here. It's deja vu all over again. Indeed, indeed it is. Deja vu all over again. Count back after this break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, here's a good one from a few days ago. It's deja vu all over again. Banana Republic and the Banana Republic of Biden. The 2022 midterm election is a 2020 election through door number three by Emerald Robinson. Countless people have called in the last few days to ask me if Carrie Lake or Blake Masters or Adam Laxalt or Lauren Boebert and the rest of the midterm candidates installed races will ultimately prevail. My answer is always the same. No. No, I don't think they're going to prevail. They're going to lose. In fact, they're being cheated out of their victories right now. My rule of thumb is simple. If you're a Trump-aligned Republican and your election results were not released within 24 hours of election day, then you're toast. The entire point of slow-rolling vote counting is that gives the cheaters the necessary time to count how many ballots they need to beat the Republican candidate, and then to manufacture those ballots, or to disappear the necessary number of GOP ballots by adjudication. Didn't the GOP learn any of these lessons from the 2020 election? Of course not. No gang of white-shoed lawyers is ready and waiting in Maricopa County to shut down the steal when Democrats tell people on Election Day to put their ballots in a trash bin marked door number three. On November 9th, Senate candidate Adam Laxalt reassured his voters that his opponent needed 63% of the remaining 84,000 votes in Clark County, Nevada, to catch up with him in the vote count. Paul Baxall tweeted, of the 84,000 votes left to count in Clark County, Cortez Mascio could win 63% of them, and she would still lose. That doesn't even take into account the gains we'll make from rural counties. Last night, when exactly as we anticipated, we added 3,000 from the rolls and more are coming. She added some county mail. We expect the remaining mail universe to fall well below the percentage she needs to catch us. No status change. So it was strange and a little disconcerting to see that Lexalt's opponent got exactly 63% of those remaining 84,000 votes 2 days later. Stand by. Yes.
Hello?
Yes? Speak.
Yeah, it's Dave Martin here.
Oh, Dave, I'm just delighted to have you here. Please, we're just talking about the theft of the election, which is so massive. I'm so pleased to have you join me. I'm a huge fan. Give us your thoughts about what the hell is going on. I've explained how disappointed I was last night with Donald Trump, who didn't come out with full guns blazing against the Democrat theft of the election of 22, but actually implied the American people hadn't figured out how much damage the Democrats are doing to the nation yet, when already there's been a massive turn. Catholics have defected, Hispanics have defected, even white suburban women have defected, many blacks have defected. It wasn't even possible the Democrats could have won, Dave. What's your take about whether we're going to be able to do anything about it?
Well, you saw, I was probably the first to weigh in on my mailing list, you know, on the morning of November 9th, just looking at the impossibility of what happened in Pennsylvania, the idea that, you know, that this guy, this Frankenstein's monster, could have been chosen as their senator is simply a joke. You know, I predicted that the scenario that's going to be followed was that, you know, we're all, because anybody can see this, this can't be real. And then, sure enough, I actually bought a copy of the Washington Post on Monday, they have a headline, Rebuke of Key Election Deniers. And that's the theme they're going to follow. But I don't think we should shrink from that, you know, that Trump should have met it head on last night. You know, that this is another theft. Out and out, more obvious than before.
Were you as disappointed as I that he didn't take this on, grab the bull by the horns, and wrestle it down? I was really.
Well, and also I predicted that Carrie Lake, because she's so much better at confronting the press than even Trump is, much better, the best in the country that I've ever seen, because she's worked with him, she knows. But they can't afford to let that woman have a national platform, and so I predicted that they would find ways to make sure that she didn't win, and they would do it in the most scurrilous fashion, which is what has happened. And of course that will simply feed the narrative then, because everybody's going to think, look, they've stolen the election from Carrie Lake. And what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, obviously they've stolen the election from Carrie Lake. But then that makes you a denier, and that gets you to the topic you wanted to talk about, the 17 techniques for truth suppression. First, I wrote that in 1998. But number five, it's called the skeptic's names. And there you go. And really, it's so completely juvenile, as you come to think of it. I mean, this is not worthy of a free press to resort to simply name-calling.
Dave, I'm right. Trouble. You are. Yes. Continue. Yes, yes, yes.
And it's really all they have. as name calling. But it's amazing that, you know, that this works on adults. And you know, that sort of leads into another article that I wrote back in, let's see what the date of this one is. Yeah, that's also 1998. At the bottom, as I see, also 17 techniques for truth suppression. And it's called Children's Fantasy Writers. It begins, the work of America's press is best appreciated if recognized for what it is. Would you not think of it as news and analysis for adults, but rather, in the most important areas, is writing for the uninformed and impressionable minds of children. It is make-believe, it is pretend, it is not to be taken as serious, literal truth. and compared to the Santa Claus story and whatever, you know, if you were too smart for your age and you went against the prevailing wisdom that Santa Claus is going to deliver all these presents, it would only create trouble for yourself. You know, the grown-ups had all the power, and you didn't have any. And your peers will say, well, you know, you're rocking the boat. You might not get any presents. So, you know, what we have in the press these days is the work of children's fantasy writers. Right? It's getting more. I mean, it was obvious to me back in '98, but I think it's. What's happened, it's so much more obvious than ever before. And a larger and larger percentage of the population is seeing it. I mean, what to do about it, I don't know.
I mean, I think Maricopa County offers a perfect opportunity, Dave, because it's so clear-cut. The evidence is so massive. They have all the records. I think that's a great case to take a stand.
And the opponent, as the Secretary of State, was in charge of the vote. And she ran a Biden-like basement campaign and refused to debate. And she has absolutely no appeal, apparently. And yet people are supposedly voting more for her as the votes trickle in. Than for Carrie Lake. I mean, nothing could be a bigger joke.
It is ridiculous. Dave, let me mention several of your 17 techniques for truth suppression. First, dummy up. If it's not reported, it's not news. It didn't happen. Second, wax indignant. This is also known as the how dare you gambit. Third, characterize the charges as rumors, or better yet, wild rumors. If, in spite of the news blackout, the public is still able to learn about the suspicious facts, it can only be through rumors. Fourth, knock down straw men. Deal only with the weakest suspects or the weakest charges. Even better, create your own straw men. Make up wild rumors or plant false stories and give them lead play when you appear to debunk all the charges, real and fanciful alike. Fifth, with which the one you mentioned right off the bat, call the skeptics names like conspiracy theorist, nutcase, ranter, kook, crackpot, and, of course, rumor monger. Be sure, too, to use heavily loaded verbs and adjectives when characterizing their charges and defending the more reasonable government and its defenders. You must then carefully avoid fair and open debate with any of the people you have thus maligned. For insurance, set up your own skeptics and shoot them down. Six. Impugn motives. Attempt to marginalize the critics by suggesting strongly they're not really interested in the truth, simply pursuing a partisan political agenda or out to make money. Seven, invoke authority. Here the controlled press and the sham opposition can be very useful. Eight, dismiss the charges as old news. Nine, come half clean. This is also known as confession and avoidance, or taking the limited hangout route. That way you create the impression of candor and honesty while you admit to only relatively harmless, less than criminal mistakes. 10. Characterize the crimes as impossibly complex and the truth as ultimately unknowable. 11. Reason backwards, using the deductive method with a vengeance, with thoroughly rigorous deduction, troublesome evidence is irrelevant. For example, we have a completely free press if evidence existed that Vince Foster's suicide note was forged, for example, they would have reported it, but they haven't reported it. So there must be no such evidence. Another involves the likelihood of a conspiracy leaker and a press who would report it. In other words, surely. And O'Reilly used these on me, Dave, when he interviewed me back in 2006. And if I had ever been said Bush and Cheney were complicit in 9/11, that surely the New York Times or the Washington Post would have published it. I mean, it's it is, Dave. It's just a classic example of one of your key points here.
Yeah.
And of course, 12, require the skeptics to solve the crime completely, right? That's been true of JFK, and part of the motivation for introducing conspiracy theorists is though those who were poking massive holes in the Warren Report had to be able to explain the position of every shooter, every shot they took, and where they hit in order to be taken seriously. 13, change the subject. This technique includes creating and or publicizing distraction. Very frequent.
That's the Monica Lewinsky case in the Foster story.
Yeah, yeah.
Change the subject completely, you know? I mean, it created a distraction as well, but go ahead.
Yes. How about 14, lightly report incriminating facts and make nothing of them, sometimes called bump and run. We got that with a Paul Pelosi, Dave. Do you know the hammer actually is a vibrating dildo shaped like a hammer that he and Dave DePap?
Really?
Yeah. They and Dave DePap said they were having gay sex, but they got into an argument over drugs. And of course, you know, they framed the idea that there was a break-in. Paul Pelosi had cuts on his hand and arm, his right hand and arm, because when he broke the glass, and the glass was outside rather than in, showing it had been broken from inside, they just haven't addressed. They even said when the police came, Paul Pelosi opened the door with his left hand because his right hand was so mangled. 15. Baldly and brazenly lie. A favorite way of doing that is to attribute the facts furnished to the public to a plausible sounding but anonymous source. 16, expand further. Have your own surgeons expose scandals and champion popular causes. Their job is to preempt real opponents and to play 99-yard football. A variation.
I think we got, you know, I may have foreshadowed Donald Trump with that one.
Yeah. I want you to.
I like it. Oh, these came out during the campaign 2016 that there was something fishy in the Foster case. You know, and that's as far as he went with it.
Well, you know what? 9/11, he was actually interviewed by local TV on 9/11 and explained the same builders who put up the Twin Towers were now working for him, and that it was impossible that a Boeing could have caused the buildings to collapse, that something else must have been involved, and even used the word bombs, where he was completely spot on, Dave, but, you know, hasn't followed. So many of us had expectations he might expose 9/11, but if nothing has come of it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and he appointed to the Supreme Court the primary cover-up artist in the Foster case. Brett Kavanaugh, he's the guy that replaced Miguel Rodriguez, the conscience-smitten first investigator who resigned in disgust, and was replaced by Kavanaugh.
And then, let me mention to the audience, Dave, that Dave, also known as DC Dave, is an expert on the Vince Foster murder, which was very contrived. It appears to have involved Hillary Clinton, who's offspring Chelsea is not, of course, by Bill who fires blanks, but by Webster Hubbell, who was the head of the law firm, the Rose Law Firm where she worked, and whom they would make to the attorney general and use to cover it up. But Dave, elaborate.
Well, not just an expert, but I have the definitive book, The Murder of Vince Foster, America's Would-Be Dreyfus Affair. So let me plug the book while we're at it.
Please do. Please
And let me mention that it only occurred to me. I mean, these 17 techniques, we didn't get to the 17th one, flood the internet with agents, but that does it all. But all these years, they stood up very well, but I just recently thought of the one huge one that really explains how they suppressed the truth in the Foster case. Is make everything ideological. That is the biggest impediment to clear thinking that I can think of. In the Foster case, a book has had somewhat disappointing sales because everybody thinks they already know everything they need to know based upon the ideological camp that they're in. I think it's a left-wing versus right-wing thing. You know, and if you're a right-winger, well, you know, the Clintons killed him. And if you're a left-winger, well, it's just so much crazy conspiracy theory that only right-wingers, extreme right-wingers, care about. And if there were anything to it, you see, Kenneth Starr was sold to us originally as an extreme right-winger, rather than the swamp creature that he was. I know, he's Solicitor General under the George H.W. Bush administration, you know. So, I mean, he's a cover-up artist from day one. But, you know, they sold him as a right-winger out to get the Clintons, and the Lewinsky case just reinforced that. Right? He's just doing everything he can to get the Clintons, bending over backwards to get the Clintons. And then when he also concludes suicide, that, well, there you go. You know that Kenneth Starr, this right winger, if there were anything to it, he would have found it. And so that explains, people have things explained for them. Take the case of Palestine. Who cares about Palestine? Left wingers. If you're not a left-winger, you're not supposed to care about the horrible treatment of the long-term residents of that region. You know, it's a left-wing versus right-wing thing. And there's no greater impediment to clear thinking than this ideological tribalism. But, the press plays it up to the hilt, whether it's Fox News or on the one side. I was listening to the right wing radio yesterday and watching a little bit of Fox News. They were playing up big time the Russian attack on Poland. How about that one?
Yes, I know. But now they've toned it down, and they say they do not believe it was actually a Russian attack, and that it was a Ukrainian missile being fired that mistakenly hit in Ukraine. I think they realize how serious it would be if they actually initiate a war with Russia, because the West would be wiped.
Well, I was listening again to WMAL, that's the right wing station, this morning, and they put it this way: initial reports were that. What were the initial reports? Where did they come from? You can look at that. They were not initial reports. It was one initial. It's singular, not plural. And where did it come from? The AP. And what was the AP source? The AP source was an unidentified U.S. government source. I mean, who was that? Well, the Pentagon wasn't them. When people asked them, they expressed skepticism. Could it have been Victoria Nuland, maybe? Some neocon in the State Department. You know?
Yeah.
But the press was responsible. Now, is that AP person like the Miguel Amador for NBC, is that person going to be suspended now for reporting something was not true? I don't think so.
I know, in all probability.
But initially, in fact, the president of Poland was saying that they didn't have any information to support it. I mean, not even the only government people that would go on record in favor of the story was, you guessed it, Zelensky in Ukraine. That's not surprising, is it? And now, they, of course, they're backing down from it, but they're not tracing how did this thing get started in the first place.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time that a world war had begun with a false flag in Poland, Dave. I mean, you know, it looks to me.
That was my first thought. Poland, yeah, this is a great place to start a new world war. We got precedent for that. Yeah, but even the Poles are a little more responsible this time than they were then. Let's hope they can continue to be responsible.
I'm so disappointed with Trump last night, Dave. Give me your thoughts about what is his viability for the future versus DeSantis. You know, I was very troubled by his failure to denounce the theft of the election. Even Tucker's now calling out it's time to end electronic voting machines. And, of course, Tucker's been doing a superb job of covering a whole lot of these issues and explaining how the delayed voting is used by the Democrats to change the outcome. And that's the whole purpose. He was right on this at the time.
I did an analysis. You might look it up. Grand Theft Primary, going back to the Super Tuesday primary, internecine warfare between the Democrats, Hillary
Hold that thought, Dave. We'll be back right after this break with DC Dave.
Okay.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope.
We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm delighted to have D.C. Martin here with me on the air. And, Dave, I know you're under the weather, my friend. Please give us some further thoughts about the State of the Union. You are, I believe, in the Washington area and see things up close and personal.
Well, I don't get into D.C. anymore. The reason I bought that Washington Post newspaper, I'd heard it had a front-page story about the decline of Union Station, which is when I worked for the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is just across the street from Union Station. That was where I commuted into, and that was the place was at its high water mark in the 1990s. You know, it was full of shops, it was full of activity. It was really a delightful place to go. It had a nice Barnes & Noble bookstore, lots of places to eat, and now it's full of it's more than half empty of stores and they're vagrants, and it's a dangerous place, and you know it's like a little San Francisco. And it's just I stay out of the city, out of the city. Right, but when we start talking, we start talking about the vote, and I mentioned my article. Let me see the date of this. Talking about the vote, I think it totally demolishes. This is February 9, 2008. This is during the primary campaign between Obama and Hillary, which Obama eventually won, but. You know, the major news on the Super Tuesday, they reported how even it came out overall. 7,347,970 votes for Hillary and 7,294,851 votes for Barack Obama. But I analyzed it state by state, and you look at it, and it makes zero sense. If you just match up some states, like Georgia versus Tennessee, Okay, those states are very, very similar in demographics, political leanings, et cetera. In Georgia, Obama won 63% to 34%. A complete blowout for Obama. In Tennessee, Hillary won 54% to 41%. What's going on here? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, we all get our news from nationally. I mean, you travel around the country, the thing that really strikes you is the extreme uniformity. You know? How many be so different from state to state, this vote? Let's look at another similar states, Connecticut. Connecticut went, chosen by standard ballot. In these cases, these were both chosen by standard ballot, Tennessee and Georgia. Connecticut, standard ballot, 51% for Obama, 47% for Hillary. Let's go next door to Massachusetts. 57% for Hillary, 41% for Obama. Do you believe that? I mean, this is when the Massachusetts has got to be the most liberal of our states, even though the New England states. And Obama was perceived as a far more liberal candidate at that point than Hillary. And yet Hillary carries Massachusetts 57% to 41%. New York, of course, where she had been the senator, 57 to 40%. This looks utterly arbitrary. It doesn't make any sense at all. I would recommend people can find it on my website, Grand Theft Primary. These things are just manufactured out of whole cloth. I think they give some plausible numbers, but they're not plausible if you look at it with any detail. Oklahoma, let's look at Oklahoma. Hillary won 55% to 31%. But in Kansas, which is not all that different from Oklahoma, Obama won 74% to 26%. That was a caucus rather than a standard ballot, but still. How do you explain this? Doesn't make any sense.
Yes. There's an awful lot of bullshit out there. What do you think about this Trump versus DeSantis business? Your thoughts on that, Dave?
The big issue between them on that is COVID-19 and the pandemic. I mean, it seems to me that Trump's actions during all of that should disqualify him completely. But now he's the one that gave us Fauci, and the warp speed clot shot. You know.
I was hoping he would denounce all of that last night, but he didn't do it.
Well, no, he's not one to admit mistakes very easily. But look at the various appointments. Christopher Wray?
Yeah.
John Bolton? Really? I mean, he only looks good in that he has all the right enemies. That's about the best you can say. I mean, they do seem to hate him for a passion, but it makes you wonder if he's not just being built up like a professional wrestler as a villain or a good guy, depending upon your point of view.
Well, I agree that there's been such an intense effort to get rid of him. It's obvious he scares the establishment shitless. I mean, two impeachment, January 6th, all this other stuff, Dave. They fear Trump.
Mar-a-Lago. I mean, nothing makes him look good in the eyes of his supporters, like these attacks upon him, and the Mar-a-Lago raid being the most recent.
Get this, now that the midterm is passed, the FBI has admitted they found nothing during the raid that was harmful to Trump, that they found nothing of any consequence during the raid.
I don't have a crystal ball as to where all this is going now, but it's going to be an interesting upcoming 2 years, all I can say.
Well, surely the Democrats aren't going to allow Biden to be their candidate. In fact, there are many who doubt he's even going to make it to 2024. Do you have thoughts on that? Kamala is obviously an airhead, about as moronic, as vacuous as any figure in American political history. Dave, it's embarrassing that she holds high office in the United States.
I don't think the people realize just what an airhead she was when they picked her. My wife seems surprised too. She didn't seem all that stupid when she was senator, but gosh. But I guess she just didn't get all that much attention. And you just can't, when you focus the cameras on and listen to her talk, how completely vacuous that woman is.
She is a joke. She's a joke. You could not make a Saturday parody about her because it's all true. I mean, there's nothing to her. And that's saying something for her to be the most insubstantial of all American politicians in our history, because we've had quite a few.
I think if you sort of step back from things a little bit and look at particular elections and just look at the two parties overall, there's a hell of a lot of attractive characters in the Republican Party, winners and losers among them. They're quite appealing in DeSantis, a lot of good governors, and a woman up in South Dakota, people like Carrie Lake, and also in the news media, people like, the Fox headliners all seem to have good sense of humor, and nobody on the left liberal side has anything resembling a trace of a sense of humor, even those people whose job it is to be humorous, the late night TV people, they're supposed to have comedy shows, and there's no humor there at all.
Well, a colleague of mine has observed the choice for the left is obvious. Biden Fetterman, a no-brainer.
the Democrats, they have zero talent. If you look at, where is there anybody? What self-respecting person would be a national Democrat anyway? Considering what's happened to the party, if you look at the long term, and I was come from a family of life. I was a Democrat up until Clinton, and lots of people were, people like Dan Bongino, he comes from a Democratic family. A lot of us, I was a typical, at one time, a Noam Chomsky academic leftist, but now, Chomsky is obviously a fraud. I didn't realize that at the time. But if you just sort of step back and look at it, look at the ratings of the TV, the main the mainliners, Hannity's hung on, but he's more of the old school of the guy that interviewed you type. But Tucker Carlson and I can't think of names when I get on the phone. The woman that follows Hannity, she's decent.
Laura Ingram follows Hannity.
I mean,
Tucker head and shoulders above, and then Laura, and then Hannity. But Jesse Waters has been doing a pretty good job with his show, too.
Again, this is a guy with a sense of humor. You know, he's entertaining. You know, just for that alone, he's fun to watch, just because he's entertaining. And whether it's the media or the politicians, the Democrats don't have anybody who's the least bit appealing. You name him. I can't. Who's appealing? Well, the Democrats, in fact, they're noxious characters, most of them, it seemed to me.
I've heard the suggestion they want to run a highly unusual candidate, Michelle Obama. And I wonder how the public will feel when they discover she's a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill.
And apparently still rolling down as well. Yeah.
Dave, I got the photographic proof for it, and I've done a lot of research on it, or I would never have brought it up in the first place. But this has been a fraud from the beginning. And, of course, Obama had a torrid affair with Rahm Emanuel in Chicago in the bathhouses there, and brought him then to Washington with him as his chief of staff, where Michelle was born. Michael LaVon Robinson played football for Oregon State before he transferred to Princeton and assumed a female persona as Michelle. We got early photographs of Barack and Michael together, and Michael has no memories, absolute male, until actually, literally, it was a physician who was assigned to look after Michelle, who never got sick, but walked into her in a trailer taking a leak standing up, who felt that although he was paid millions for his silence, he had to explain to the public that Michelle was not a man who underwent a sex transformation, but rather who had breast implants and a huge shaving bill. And we found the parents of the kids. Obviously, two men can't have children. And they were actually borrowed from a Michelle physician, and the older girl looks just like her father, and the younger just like her mother.
Huh.
Dave, do you know in the Hunter laptop, there's video of him converting with two nubile young girls on the bed, and there's a little white dog that Brock gave to the girls. He's having sex with the Obama girls right there on the video.
Bringing up the mystery man Obama, I'll bet you're one of those birthers.
Oh, yeah, he was. I did research on his birth certificate. You know, they have a monument in Kenya to the first Kenyan president of the United States. Not knowing there cannot be a Kenyan president of the United States, they made up a fake Kenyan birth certificate, but I actually found a copy of what appears to be the real. So they can say, if anyone brings up the Kenyan birth certificate, yeah, that's been debunked because they created. This is one of your 17 ways, Dave. This is one of your 17 ways of, you know, creating a strong.
Exactly. Birth. You know, I mean, you're a birther, you see, if you bring that up. That was one of the initial raps on Trump, that he was a birther. Which means that.
All the raps on Trump, like all the raps on Marjorie Taylor Greene, are for issues where they are right and their critics are wrong.
Exactly.
Isn't she a pistol, Dave, Marjorie Taylor Greene?
I love everything about her.
So do I. Just as I do this Carrie Lake. This Carrie Lake is Wow, is she formidable? What a mind, such an intellect, so articulate, so powerful, and what a fantastic package. I mean, no wonder they're scared shitless of her too, David.
Yeah, and both of them are good looking.
Yes.
Which you can't say for the so-called girlfriend for the Sam Bankman-Fried.
Yeah, what do you think about this scandal? It looks as though the Democrats were sending all this money to Ukraine so it could be laundered and sent back to use to steal the election of 2022.
There's another thing you can say about the leftist women is they tend not to be very good looking. Well, my mouth's getting out here. Let me give you a poem about my condition.
Please do, Dave. Please do, Dave, and then we'll let you recuperate. Go ahead.
Eating is a bigger problem even for talking. I put a mouthful in, I drop a mouthful out, I put a mouthful in, and it makes me want to shout. I'm suffering from dystonia, and it's getting slowly worse. That's what it's all about.
The hokey pokey. I love it, Dave. I love it.
It's a dystonia hokey pokey, yeah.
Why are you doing so one?
I'm not going to be able to eat now for a couple of hours because I've worn my jaw muscles out. And well, I didn't eat lunch because I need to rest my mouth to be able to talk.
Yeah. Well, it was wonderful. It was wonderful you could join, Dave. I can't thank you enough.
We have a lot of insights to share. And you may remind people that I shared a lot of my... This, you know, I have a chapter in your book on the Charlottesville. I call my article is called the Charlottesville Operation, and it's amazing how the mainstream press has continued through with that fake. I mean, all they have to do is paint the demonstrators there as white supremacists, and then everything they do is evil. And that's that.
And you know, Dave, they use the same crisis actor woman to be Susan Brough, the mother of Heather Heyer, who's supposed to have died in that car crash, but actually died the following day of a heart attack. And Donna Soto, who's supposed to be the mother of Victoria Soto, a teacher who died at Sandy Hook. It's the same woman, Dave. And this Donna Soto has been a lead plaintiff in these lawsuits against Alex Jones. What a farce, Dave. Can you imagine $1 billion for having an opinion?
What a farce, yeah. And in Charlottesville, I mean, all of the violence, virtually all of it, came from the counter demonstrators. And then you had that one car crash, and the driver was not the guy that was charged.
Yes.
And the car was not the car that you see.
Yes.
That he was found in.
Yes. Huh. Yes, there were two different charge Dodge Challengers. One had a racing stripe, one not. One had a sunroof, one not. And there was a fellow, the 20-year-old diagnosed schizophrenic with thick glasses versus a 32-year-old who commands a battalion of reservists in Ohio is actually driving the car. Dave, when he backed away from the crash, I was astonished because he was so skillful it befit a NASCAR driver.
Yeah. I mean, it just, no truth to this, the story that they're telling us. Well, so be it. Well, anyway, it's nice talking to you.
Yeah, real pleasure, Dave.
Okay. All right.
You take care. You take care. Get some rest, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining. Wonderful. DC Dave, this guy is one of the all-time classics in Washington as a political commentator. Here I have the story I mentioned. FBI admits they found nothing in raid at Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. The FBI suddenly and quietly admitted they found nothing in the raid of Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. I wonder if the fact that midterm elections are over has anything to do with this. leading up to 2022, there was nothing but leaks and speculation Trump was trying to sell U.S. nuclear secrets. Now that Democrats have stolen the election, it was all a big nothing burger. In August, an FBI team headed by a Russian collusion hoax specialist raided Donald Trump's Florida home, claiming the former president had stolen classified material from the liberal media, citing unnamed sources claim it was the most sensitive information our country had, and said Trump was trying to sell it to Saudi Arabia, Russia, and China. All bullshit. If you want exposés about nonsense like this, you might want to check out my False Flags and Conspiracies 2022 virtual conference. Mitchell, if you could share with our audience, I have a 57-second promo about it, but you can learn vastly more about everything there. 26 presentation, 24 speakers over 2 days, the 3rd and the 4th of December. Mitchell, if you could play it now, that would be a terrific way to close out this segment, and then we'll open the lines to callers. Go to jameshfetzer.org, and you can check it out.
You see how blatantly the midterms have been stolen. How many other times have you been played? The Green New Deal, the pandemic and the vax, Sandy Hook in the courts, the missing gas chambers, bio and chem labs in Ukraine, Bill Binney, Catherine Horton, Nick Kohlerstrom, Uli Damigard, Tina Pollard-Sachs, and many more. You don't want to miss my 3rd annual False Flags and Conspiracy Virtual Conference, 3 to 4 December 2022. 24 speakers, 26 presentations. Check it out at jameshfetzer.org. This one is for history. And I add it is. I mean, it's just a terrific lineup. Check it all out in detail. It's all laid out there. All the speakers, all the topics, the 3rd and the 4th of December. For me, this is going to be an extraordinary sequence of events. I'll relate when we return from this break. Your calls will be welcome.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I really was unable to anticipate whether Dave would be able to join us, but I'm so glad he could. There is a rather sensational story that's developed that I've just published on my blog by State Council about ERIC, the epicenter of voter fraud. Now, I'm going to go through this, which really explains the mechanism they're using to steal these elections. But if anyone would like to call in, the number 540-352-4452, Mitchell will field your call. Now get this about ERIC. The American Policy Center has been kicking over rocks in the election fraud jungle for the better part of the last year. ERIC, the Election Registration Information Center, is under everyone. Buried in the slime of intransigence, ignorance, and plausible deniability. Most state officials chose to defend or ignore it. Even some supposed conservatives want to wash over the truth. This must stop. America must recognize ERIC for what it is, the epicenter of the voter fraud in the nation today. Since early February 2022, we at the ABC have been reporting on ERIC. I have personally written 6 articles on election integrity, showing what ERIC is and what it does, as well as what we can do about it. I've learned a tremendous amount from experts along the way. My writings are listed at the end of this article, authored by Kat Stansell. From the very first, I tagged ERIC as the backbone of the steal. Everything I research about voter fraud and sources leads to ERIC. Every rock overturned has ERIC beneath it. ERIC is a membership organization ostensibly created for voter roll maintenance. In reality, it is a massive data gathering operation which adds bogus voters to the system of every member state. Millions of inactive, ineligible, and phantom voters with undeliverable addresses appear on member states' voter rolls. These names are used for mail-in ballot fraud, ballot box stuffing, and machine adjustments in real time. ERIC was started in 2012 using Soros funds donated through the Pew Charitable Trust. It was conceived and organized by a highly unethical leftist named David Becker, who has spent a lifetime trying to defeat the conservative agenda in America. Becker also played a role in the Wisconsin fraud of 2020 and has been openly named for more unethical and illegal activities by Michael Gableman, former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice.
author of the Wisconsin Election Review, providing a link. Others have turned Becker a partisan progressive. I don't have the patience for fancy names. I invite you to learn more from the Honorable Michael Gableman and from the site below, then decide for yourself what you would like to call David Becker. As you may or may not know, states are required by law to maintain their voter rolls. Becker played off of this. He beguiled state election officials using language of plausible deniability to provide an easy and relatively cheap system for doing this. Becker counted on the fact that busy officials would bite on something that they thought would make their lives easier. He was correct. 7 states joined the first year. Another interstate voter roll maintenance system was in place and being used quite successfully by 40 states at Eric's inception. Kansas Crosscheck was free to its members. So using a Soros-funded, Obama-appointed judge to hear a trumped-up case about imaginary voter suppression brought by the ACLU, one of the usual pay-per-wine plaintiffs, Crosscheck was shut down, and new members came pouring into Eric. It grew quickly from 7 to 31 member states. After all, those busy state election officials needed a quick fix, and Eric was in the position to help. Today, 33 states in the District of Columbia are Eric members. Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, District of Columbia, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Iowa, Kentucky, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Nevada, New Jersey, New Mexico, Ohio, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, and Wisconsin, where Louisiana withdrew as of July 15, 2022, thanks to the action of citizen activists. To understand the damage Eric does, you must know that the very construct of Eric is designed for fraud and data gathering, not roll maintenance. Member states must turn in all data from their voter rolls, both old and new, as well as all records from motor vehicle divisions and every public service agency in the state. Eric takes all these lists and adds the USPS data and Social Security records from the state. All this information on every person living in each state is stored in Eric's massive artificial intelligence system. Whether you are a voter or not, whether you are a citizen or not, your name and personal information are stored with Eric. In return for giving over the private records of millions of its residents, Eric members receive 4 lists: who moved, who died, who is adjudicated ineligible from felony conviction or mental incompetence, and who is eligible but unregistered to vote. EBU. States must solicit at least 90% of these EBUs at least every 60 days, providing them with voter registration information. Eric's rules also disallow any name being marked as to citizenship. Florida has, in fact, removed the checkbox for citizenship from its driver's license app. Other states may have followed suit. The law requires that this sensitive data be kept private. But records show that Eric shares with at least Zuckerberg's group, the Center for Election Integrity, and surely anywhere else it can be used for fraud. Eric's own website brags about how many new voters they have added nationwide. Nowhere can you find a word about how many ineligible voters have been cleaned from the rolls. Wasn't this latter the purpose for Eric? Yeah, not so much. I will say it again. The design and operation of the Eric system is for bloating, not cleaning the rolls. As a matter of real fact, Eric's mandate includes only a conditional requirement for list maintenance. Recently, I noticed that the Eric bylaws no longer appear on their website. Millions of names who may have never voted end up on the rolls. These are people who have moved from the state, chose not to vote, or have died. The Who Moved and Who Died are the richest list for fake ballot submission. These phantom names show up on requests for mail-in ballots, mailing lists from state election officials, and even the CVR, counted vote records after an election. Many of these quite probably were the stuff put into the drop boxes by the mules on the midnight to 3 a.m. shift. These bloated voter rolls are quite obvious in the records of each state from the 2020 election. According to a report issued by the U.S. Election Assistance Commission, itself a liberal group, the 2020 numbers are as follows. Over 50% of ERIC members have voter rolls that contain more names than their entire voting age population, to wit, Alaska, 121.7%, Illinois, 108.2%, Michigan, 108.1%. This is a percentage more of voters on the rolls than there are citizens in the state. Maine, 106.9%, Kentucky, 106.5%, Delaware, 104.1%, Georgia, 103.6%, Rhode Island, 102.0%, South Carolina, 101.8%, Florida, 101.6%, Nevada, 101.0%, Alabama, 100.9%, Maryland, 100.0%, Washington, 100.0%. Figures not available for new members, New Jersey and Massachusetts. My recent article on settling the confusion about ERIC gives more numbers for other states. Of course, there will always be inaccuracy in voters' lists. None will ever be perfect. People do move around and die, become incapacitated, or commit a crime. Some just don't care about voting. That's their right, sadly. But the massive numbers of ineligible voters appearing on so many state rolls is no coincidence. It is contrived. Face it. David Becker did not develop ERIC to create honest and up-to-date voter rolls. That is crystal clear from who he is, as well as from the design of his system. He is proud of his reputation as a far-left member of the swamp. Being politically neutral is not in his nature. Just as he worked to help the city of Boston discriminate against conservative voters behind the back of his own employer at DOJ, so too did he design a massive get-out-the-vote scheme to defraud Americans. Becker pretends he is no longer involved in the management of ERIC, but is documented to be an active part to this day. Please do read about him in Influence Watch above. You'll never doubt his motive or design. In the recent weekend symposium, A Moment of Truth, activists from 48 of the 50 states reported on their state's major problems with election integrity. Every ERIC member reported problems with hugely bloated voter rolls. Many reported that state officials were unwilling to discuss the issues or even openly hostile on the subject of clean elections. Activists told stories about being stonewalled by legislators, deprived of information as legally theirs, even jailings and fatal accidents. The dark passion for fraud runs deep. The entire broadcast of A Moment for Truth should be available on Rumble. If it is not, well, you know what may have happened. So goes much that is truth today. ERIC was called out by name many times over the last 2 days of the broadcast. The Honorable Michael Gableman, former Supreme Court Justice of Wisconsin, went into the role of ERIC in some detail. Despite the obvious connection to the ERIC system to voter fraud, its leading role was somehow sidelined and ignored. For many months, late in 2021 and the first half of 2022, nobody wanted to talk about it. Folks who had written against it in 2016 and 2017 suddenly supported it. Others tried to hush discussion and debate on the subject. It seemed to many, including me, that the word had gone around. ERIC was off limits. This only made me more certain than ever that Eric was where we should be looking, even above machine ballot harvesters or mules. However, a number of recent articles on election fraud have now been published by The Federalist, The New American, Uncover DC, Revolver News, and The Epoch Times. All discuss Eric by name and advocate states getting out ASAP. One very in-depth report by Verity Vote did a particularly good job in breaking through the smoke and mirrors. Its title, Threats to Election Integrity by Eric Sir Revere. Although I printed it out, I cannot find the link. Again, not unusual as something is too full of truth. Another online article went missing only 12 hours after publication. On August 23rd, an article by Patricia Tolson appeared in the Epoch Times. It dealt at some length with problems in Florida. Ms. Tolson covered a report released by a group of citizen activists in Florida. It found real problems, not only with uncooperative election officials, inconsistent role management, but also problems with Eric. Tolson also revealed that Florida allows third-party registration of voters. Gosh and golly, how could that possibly pollute the voter rolls? I've got no link to give you because there isn't one. Other Florida activists have done amazing work as well. Florida for the numeral America and the People's Audit have proven thousands of undeliverable addresses on the rolls of their county, to which addresses ballots were mailed and from which they were returned, voted. They can show fake street names being added to the roll, then removed after ballots were voted from those addresses. These ordinary citizens gave up jobs, dipped deeply into personal savings, walked miles to canvass, spent long hours over spreadsheets. The fruit of their labor was presented to the State House in Tallahassee in the form of charts, graphs, and stacks of affidavit from voters. Crickets. They bought a page in a local paper to display the facts they had found to call attention to the plight of Florida voters. That paper refused to print it because the editor said they didn't have the facts. When they presented the proof to county officials, they were called liars. With the evidence of boxes full of yellow return mail labels where ballots had been set in plain sight, a press conference was called specifically to accuse them of presenting the truth. That particular supervisor of election even went so far as to submit their names to DeSantis' new election crimes division as having dealt in disinformation. This is utterly chilling. Even in a supposed good red state, its citizens who care are being denounced and targeted. The way these good people have been treated in their own state is stunning. To many, it is hard to fathom this kind of thing coming from the state governed by such a popular Republican governor. It is entirely possible that Governor DeSantis is being blocked from the citizens' information by backroom players, as was President Trump during his White House stay. We can only hope that the powers that be in Florida take note and take action ASAP. Recently, I interviewed one of their leaders, Chris Jersky of the People's Audit, twice on Catching Fire News, an online video news outlet. Listen to him explain their efforts. What they have accomplished, what they've been able to prove, working together with citizens from around the state is truly amazing. Their work is both an inspiration and a model for others who want to understand how they may help. Why are they and their information being attacked? For every effort to explain and expose the truth about Eric, there has been blowback. It was expected from the blue states, of course. What was unanticipated, though perhaps that was just naivete on my part, was the attack on good activists with reams of proof by red state officials and even a few conservative groups. It's a part of the story that needs to be told. The people must be heard. Our country belongs to us. It's time to reclaim it. let's just say, it's been a long road to hoe, turning up and exposing what we have about Eric until now. We at American Policy Center are delighted and gratified to learn of so many who are now calling the Eric system out for exactly what it is and for exposing the guts of their ugly fraud beast. We hope this will help all groups in every state to gain traction, pulling together for our freedom. No one needs to be reminded that it is our God-given right to vote, to select those who will represent us in government. This is what has made America the bright star of freedom for the world. There is today, however, a well-defined and funded entity who would bring down our republic and everything about our lives that we hold dear. To do so, they are coming after our ballots and have crafted a weapon known as Eric to help conquer us. Do not let it happen. We have one more election to be free. If we allow this kind of frontal assault on liberty to happen again, we will go the way of Venezuela and lose our freedom forever. Join hands in your own community. Go to public meetings. Stand on the courthouse steps. Make your voices heard. Come to AmericaPolicy.org for what to do and how it is not too late. Get off the couch and out the door. We have a country to save. What a magnificent article. You can find it on my blog at JamesHFetzer.org. JamesHFetzer.org. Let me just add a few words about the False Flags and Conspiracies Conference that is going to be held on the 3rd and the 4th of December. It's really a fairly amazing sequence of days for me, because on the 2nd of December, this is the day before the conference begins on the 3rd, Friday the 2nd, the Supreme Court is in conference on my petition for a rehearing. My petition for a rehearing regarding my petition for a writ of certiorari, which they had previously denied. I have a friend who's qualified before the United States Supreme Court. He has told me he is blown away, that he has never heard of this happening before in the history of the court. You can submit for a rehearing if you have new legal arguments and new evidence, where I have both. You want to go to my blog and check out what Ron Havery has to say about my SCOTUS petition for rehearing, because there you can download not only the petition, but both of the appendices, and listen to this. In the appendices, which are before the Supreme Court now, is not only the FEMA manual for the drill at Sandy Hook, but the Connecticut FEMA company's own list of agenda items, including the drill to be conducted at Sandy Hook Elementary School on 14 December 2012. It's right there before the Supreme Court. And in Appendix E, it's even more powerful evidence from inside the school. The Connecticut State Police appear to have been running the op, and they photographed every aspect. Brian Davidson, a licensed private investigator, has been investigating the files of the Connecticut State Police, and he's turned up proof after proof after proof of how the evidence the police have in their own files contradicts their official narrative of what happened. For example, there's a hallway where both the principal and the school psychologist were supposed to have been killed, and pools of blood. But the photograph of the hallway not only shows no body, but no pools of blood. And of course, inside the classroom, classroom 10, where there was supposed to be a stack of bodies, there's virtually nothing. Furniture shoved up against the wall, but not only no bodies and no blood, there are no school desks or chairs. There's no flag. There's no teacher desk. There are no photographs of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. In other words, Here's proof before the United States Supreme Court. Not only was no mass murder committed at Sandy Hook, but it wasn't even a functioning school, precisely as I explained, and nobody died at Sandy Hook. And get this, what Brian Davidson also discovered is that they removed all the metadata from the photographs, so you can't tell where when they were taken in an effort to make it impossible to submit for a court to hear. Well, I'm afraid it's too late for that. Mitchell, if you have the opportunity, I'd be grateful if you could play again that 57-second about false flags and conspiracy 2022. Go to my blog at jameshfetzer.org, and right on the front page, you can scroll down. It's a fourth item. Here we go. False Flags and Conspiracies Conference 2022, 3 and 4 December to complete. So on the 2nd, the court is hearing my conference. On the 3rd and 4th is the conference itself I'm moderating. On the 4th, I should have the decision of the Supreme Court of whether or not to grant my writ of certiorari. And on the 6th, I will celebrate my 82nd birthday. Here's hoping the Supreme Court gives me a nice present with
now
a boat.
Now that you see how blatantly the midterms have been stolen, how many other times have you been played? The Green New Deal, the pandemic and the vax, Sandy Hook in the courts, the missing gas chambers, bio and chem labs in Ukraine, Bill Binney, Catherine Horton, Nick Kohlerstrom, Ole Damgaard, Tina Pollard-Sachs, and many more. You don't want to miss my third annual False Flags and Conspiracy Virtual Conference, 3 to 4 December 2022. 24 speakers, 26 presentations. Check it out at jameshfetzer.org. This one is for history.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me the...
Liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...